You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In February last year, Consumer NZ did a survey on consumer issues that matter to them, showing that environmental issues topped the list this year for the second time in a row. The survey found a rise in consumers changing their shopping habits in an effort to reduce their environmental impacts. 6 out of 10 people agreed environmental considerations were important to them and that they were looking for greener products. However, 72% of people also agreed that it's hard to find which products are really better for the environment. So today I talked to the Chief Executive at Consumer NZ, John Duffy, and EcoStore's Group Research and Development Director, Huia Iti, about greenwashing and its role behind why 72% of people find it hard knowing what products are actually better for the environment. To start the conversation, I first spoke to John Duffy.
For listeners who might not know, what is greenwashing?
Well, greenwashing covers quite a broad church of practices, but in a basic sense, it's the practice of, I guess, putting more resources into telling the world you're doing something good for the planet than actually implementing those eco-friendly processes.
And why has it become more prominent in recent years?
Well, I think, you know, based on the research we do, we survey consumer sentiment relatively regularly. And, you know, people have always been environmentally conscious, but that's really increasing, right? You know, we're living in a climate crisis. You can't watch the news at night without being confronted with the effect of climate change. And people are increasingly wanting to make responsible choices that don't worsen the situation. So marketers have latched onto that. They realise that marketing something as the environmentally safe choice is an angle that will encourage people to buy their product. And as marketers do, they've latched onto that and are using it to their advantage.
Is this legal?
There's absolutely no problem with it if it's true. So if a company comes out and makes a claim that their product is good for the environment or won't have a particular negative effect on the environment, and they can back that up with testing, there's absolutely no problem in making that claim. And in fact, it could be a really good thing to let consumers know about so that they can choose that product over other products that don't have those features. The problem we have is where, firstly, you know, it's easy to work through when the claim's not true. That's just blatantly false and a breach of the Fair Trading Act. But there's kind of this grey area that sits in the middle where businesses make very general claims like all natural or biodegradable. Or they'll make a claim such that's not actually particularly relevant. For example, we've recently been testing multi-purpose cleaners, and you'll see a number of them come out and claim that they're phosphate-free. But actually, it's rare to find phosphates in multi-purpose cleaning products, so it's actually a pretty irrelevant comment to make. But it's all designed to make you think, oh, okay, there's no phosphates in this product. It's better for the environment. I'll choose that one over one that's not saying anything about phosphates.
So do you think that it is affecting consumers and their trust in brands, potentially blinding people to the good work that some businesses are doing?
Yes. And that's, you know, look, that's been a problem as long as marketing has been around. As soon as marketers realise that consumers will react to a certain type of kind of endorsement or promotional activity, they latch onto it. And the reputable ones do that well and can back their claims up. But there's always advertisers at the margins who will look to exploit kind of consumer desire to purchase certain types of products. And, you know, that's bad for everybody. But particularly when we're looking at health or environmental claims, there's no real practical way for a consumer to dig into, you know, the contents of a product. Let's use this multi-purpose cleaner example again. You know, it would be a rare consumer that has a laboratory at their house that could break down the constituent parts of their cleaning product. Right, so they're reliant on what the manufacturer is telling them being true, and where that blurs into a falsehood or this grey area that we talked about earlier, that's a real problem both for the planet, because it may not be that the best products of the planet are being purchased, but it's a real competitive disadvantage for those manufacturers who are being honest and are actually able to back up their claims.
Can a brand actually be fully transparent with the product they are selling?
Yes, and they should be. The law is there to, you know, the Fair Trading Act is there to make sure that businesses are straight up in how they advertise their products. But the law relies on offending being detected, right? And it's, the Commerce Commission that enforces the Fair Trading Act would need almost bottomless resources to be able to go out and test every single product that's on the shelf to make sure that it matches its claims. So the fallback position is relying on some of the endorsements that are out there.
Because that was my next question. How can we as consumers actually know and trust businesses that are creating products that are eco-conscious?
Right, so there's some reputable endorsement certifications out there, that can help guide consumers. So a good one to look for is the Environmental Choice label. So that's New Zealand's official environmental label. It's independently operated. And, you know, products need to go through quite a rigorous testing process to achieve that standard. So that's a good one to look out for. It's a double-edged sword because there's, you know, as there's kind of grey marketing in the ingredients of products, there can be grey marketing around certification of products as well. And, you know, you really need to look out for certifications that may have been produced by the manufacturer themselves. There's a few notable cases in the last kind of 10 years where manufacturers basically created their own certification to claim things like, you know, environmentally friendly production processes or where their production processes haven't used child labour or indentured labour, that kind of thing. So consumers do need to be wary, and, you know, one of the problems we have in our fast-paced modern society is that, you know, you're pretty busy. You know, and it's not everyone who has time to stop and read all the detail on every single label of every single thing they're putting into their supermarket trolley. So doing a little bit of research before you go into the supermarket is possibly a good idea. And other research you can do can actually lead you to the conclusion that maybe you don't even need to buy the product that you're looking at. Looking at the cleaning products again, sometimes water and vinegar can be better than some of the products that are on the market.
I then spoke with EcoStore's Group Research and Development Director, Huia Iti, to get his insight into greenwashing as well.
What are some obvious signs that a brand is greenwashing?
It's quite a tough question, actually, because it takes a while to understand how to identify what these key signs are. And one way I think about it is to really, the brands that people are interested in, it's really engaging with them and asking questions and trying to understand whether claims and position statements that they make are just superficial or they actually really do manage the whole life cycle of their products or services. So it's about asking the right questions. For example, if a brand makes a product that's composed of many different components, it's like rather than just looking at the label itself, it might have a dolphin on it or a tree or it's got a tinge of green or it's got some type of organic brand or product name. It's about thinking about, well, actually, what's gone into this product? Going, well, actually, there's many ingredients. Where have those ingredients come from? Are they come from petrochemicals, so a non-sustainable resource, or have they come from plants? And if they have come from plants, which plants are they? And what are the associated impacts of using those plants? So it may be palm oil, it may be soy, it may be canola or sugar or something like that, and thinking, actually, each of those materials has an impact. And going to the brand itself and going, actually, what are your sourcing policies? Where did you source those from? What are the conditions like for the people that are working on the plantations and the processing rooms throughout the whole supply value chain?
Going on from that, are there any terms that some companies commonly use as a form of greenwash?
One of the key ones is natural or biodegradable. Those are the main ones that spring to mind. And it's about understanding, like, if a product is claiming to be natural, for somebody interested in them, it's like actually an important point is how much of that product is actually deemed to come from natural resources. If a common trick, which is just fairy dusting. And fairy dusting involved is taking a standard industrial product, sprinkling in a small amount of plant-based extract or a plant-based fragrance or plant-based colouring, but the majority of the product is actually from non-sustainable resources. So it's understanding from quantifying how much is actually from natural sources, and that's where it's engaging with the brand that you're interested in. Okay, you're claiming your product is natural. Actually, tell me how much of it is, and what are the materials that you've used to make your product?
And why do you think some companies choose to greenwash instead of just becoming more ethical?
I think it's cheaper and easier, actually. If you, those that are truly on a mission to become more sustainable or regenerative, which is the preference, they're actually spending a lot of time developing their products and actually investing in what's in them, in the packaging and the operations and the ingredient. And actually, they generally cost more. And it's actually, if brands want to greenwash, they can dribble in a little bit of XYZ and claim their product is natural, or they've got fair trade this or fair trade that. And just small parts of the product or service life cycle has got tinges of eco-ness or greenness. It's actually quite a easy, cheap strategy to then put yourself up against the legitimate brands that are investing in their products, in their operations, in their supply chains, in their packaging and formula, and competing against them on a superficial level. Because unfortunately, a lot of times people don't actually take the time to do the work and digging deeper and within their purchasing decisions. So it's like, actually, these guys here are saying this stuff over here, and it may be just superficial greenwash, but they find it hard to tell because they look the same as the legitimate brands, and oh, actually, they might be a bit cheaper too. So it takes actually real effort to actually delve into the products that are out there and actually determine for yourself whether they are legitimate.
That was the Chief Executive at Consumer NZ, John Duffy, and EcoStore's Group Research and Development Director, Huia Iti, discussing greenwashing, its effects on consumers, and ways to distinguish brands that greenwash... Oh my gosh, I can never say it. To distinguish brands that greenwash from brands that are ethical and kind to nature.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.